whoever you are, whatever age you are, wherever you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here. Come from east and west, from north and south. Come old and young, strong and weak. Come with faith and come with questions. Come with joy and come with sorrow. Come with hope for this day's morrow. Come. This is a day for remembering the cost of human greed and evil, remembering the courage that rises up to face challenge, remembering the grace that holds this wild, unruly earth together, remembering the abundance that spills forth from the sharing of life. Come, remember with me, grieve with me, pray with me, rejoice with me. We begin our worship singing of God's glory at 111 in Common Ground. Sing for God's glory, God's power, God's justice, God's saints. Please be seated. This morning our prayer will be led by the Elder Fleming family and the Herring Johnson family, who will bring symbols of our prayers to the table which is in the midst of us. After the candle is brought to the table and lit, we will sing from Rejoice and Sing, number 393, Kindle a Flame to Lighten the Dark. We'll sing that three times before we say the Lord's Prayer, as is printed in your service sheet together. Let us pray.
Good God, we bring you this offering. Today we remember all who have died or been hurt by war. We remember men and women and children. We remember animals. We remember the earth. We pray for an end to all war.
Loving God, we bring you the cup of Jesus. Today we will remember his courage and the courage of people in war and at all times in our history. We remember those who stood up to evil. We remember those who refused to give in to hate. We remember the bravery of soldiers, the conscientious objectors, and the ordinary people. We pray that we will have courage.
Gracious God, we bring you this offering plate. Today we remember the sharing that you ask of us. For the good of the whole world, we remember that we have much and many have little. We remember that our kindnesses and our sharing will bring life to others. We remember others who have shared what they have with us. We pray that our sharing will bring your kingdom closer.
Growing God, we bring you this vine. Today we remember the new life you bring even in the face of death. Remember that you're wine and we are the branches. Remember that a grain of wheat must fall to the earth and die before a new plant may grow. We remember the times when we walked through the dark valley of death. We pray that our dying will bear the fruit of faith, hope, and love.
God, we bring you this candle.
Today we remember that you are the light of the world, which the darkness did not overcome. We remember that the darkness is not dark to you. We remember that your light and your love will never leave us. We remember that perfect love casts out fear. We pray for perfect love, and we pray that our lives and our life together will shine with your goodness.
We pray as Jesus taught us to pray. God, you are life for us. Holy be your name. Your new day come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our bread for the morrow, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Strengthen us in the time of test, and deliver us from evil. For the power, the splendor, and the fulfillment are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And if we can have the children up around the table.
children and young people go forth to carry on worship in our groups, first we thank them for their participation this morning, and we say to them, the Lord be with you.
Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's. If this is your first time here, please do sign the visitor's book and come through to the hall after the service, where everyone is warmly invited to share in tea, coffee or a soft drink. There are a number of notices on the order of service, and I'd just like to mention in particular this evening, the next in our discussion series on sex and the spirit will begin at 6 p.m. here at St. Columba's. Next week will be a communion service, and as usual, we'll be receiving gifts of food and hygiene essentials for Asylum Welcome and the Community Emergency Food Bank. And finally, Rosemary has let me know that the prayer handbooks have now arrived. She does have two spare if anyone didn't put an order in but would like one. So see Rosemary after the service if you would like to buy one of those.
The first reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he went out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah.
The New Testament reading is taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. There was a great crowd, and they listened eagerly. He said, as he taught them, "Beware of the doctors of the law, who love to walk up and down in long robes, receiving respectful greetings in the street, and to have the chief seats in synagogues, and place of honor at feasts. These are the men who eat up the property of widows, where they say long prayers of appearance's sake, and they will receive severest sentence." Once he was standing opposite the temple treasury, watching as people dropped their money into the chest. Many rich people were giving large sums. Presently, there came a poor widow who dropped in two tiny coins, together worth a farthing. He called his disciples to him. "I tell you this," he said, "this poor widow has given more than any of the others, for those others who have given had more than enough, but she, with less than enough, has given all that she had to live on. Thanks be to God.
We stand to sing hymn number 509 and rejoice and sing, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Seated. Gracious God, open this word to us. We awake each morning to news of war around the world. And you know that our deep longing is for peace. As we remember this day, assist us to remember rightly in your sight. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you who are our rock, our refuge, and our Redeemer. There's something strange and right that our lectionary texts this morning are about widows. For Remembrance Day is a day when our ears are tuned not only to the nation's praise of those who have given their lives for their country, but also to the cries of widows and widowers and of survivors, those who know better than most the true cost of war. In each of our Bible stories, it is a widow who is asked or who offers to give all that she has. No doubt many war widows and widowers may feel as if they have stood in those shoes.
The texts are always also about power, human and divine. At Zarephath, God's power fills a jar of meal and a jug of oil over and over, assuring that the widow and her son and Elijah may live in a time of famine. God's life-giving power was made manifest because the widow chose to trust, to risk sharing her food with the stranger. In Jerusalem at the temple, Jesus criticizes the scribes who flash their power and privilege while eating up widows' properties. Then he points out the widow with her might. The whole of her life is given, the Greek text says. The widow who brings it and offers it to God. The positioning of these stories together invites us to think critically about our exercise of power, how we may use it for good or for ill, and that Christ's invitation is to exercise our power to offer all that we are for God's purposes. So I want to think this morning about power, the church's power and our personal power in our remembrance of war and those who died in service. I'm drawing on Miroslav Volf's book, The End of Memory, Remembering Rightly in a Violent World. Volf is a Croatian theologian who's now professor of theology at Yale Divinity School and director of the Yale Center for Faith and Culture. He was once considered a national security threat in his home country of what was then Yugoslavia, and during that time he was interrogated violently over a period of time in the mid-1980s. And he used this book to analyze that experience deeply and theologically. He concluded that our souls are at stake when we remember violent acts, and that it's important to remember the whole of what happened, including the bits we may not be so proud of, bits where perhaps we were complicit, where we participated in violence. Ultimately, he writes, the proper goal of remembrance is the formation of the communion of love between all people. In other words, peace. You may think that today is not about remembering war, but rather the remembrance of those who gave their lives in war. But if all we do is remember the sacrifice of soldiers, we risk encouraging sacrificial giving that buttresses the power of the state to require the blood of our young and old in defense of its policies. Failure to remember the full cost of war dishonors the dead, many of whom believed that war is an evil. Harry Patch, the last Tommy, last survivor of World War I, died just a few years ago, and in an interview in 2005, he said the war wasn't worth it. He described Remembrance Day as just show business. Remembering the fallen alone is not right remembrance in the eyes of God. To remember rightly, honoring the dead, and for the sake of the souls and bodies of the living, we need to remember as fully as we can. We must and we do remember that thousands of men and women have answered the call of their nation to sacrifice their lives for the aims of their government, many of which aims were noble and have secured our life and liberty, and some of which were and are not so noble. It is right to honor those who've given their lives in the service of the nation. They are the few whose sacrifice enables the life of the many. We must also remember that war kills not only servicemen and women on every side of the conflict, but that the greatest number of casualties in armed conflict are civilians. Of the 60 million people killed in World War II, 60 million. Two-thirds of those were civilians. And war kills animals and scorches and poisons the earth. as Harry Patch and many others would tell you, those who survived combat, necessary or not, war is an evil that kills, maims, harms, haunts, dehumanizes. And we must remember that following the example of Jesus, some Christians have refused to take up arms, declaring themselves conscientious objectors and suffering derision, persecution, punishment, and even loss of life. From the time Jesus told Peter to put away his sword, pacifism has been in our DNA. The earliest Christians refused to take up arms. Tertullian and Origen reminded Christians of their obligation to reject the idolatry and bloodshed that was essential to the imperial army. It wasn't until the 4th century, when Christianity became aligned with the power of the state, that Christian argument began to arise to support taking up war. While railing against the violence that war can engender, Augustine commented on the morality of war, and Aquinas in the 13th century gave a foundation for what has come to be known as just war theory. We must remember, not every war is just and necessary, and that the Christian is free to refuse to take up arms, just as Jesus refused to take up arms when soldiers came to arrest him. There is power in our remembrance. What and how we remember will fuel our choices as we exercise the personal power each one of us has to spend our lives as we choose. And there is a particular power to how and what we remember in church. The Bible is full of admonitions to remember, 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 remember it was God who brought you up out of slavery. Remember, you were aliens in the land of Egypt, so do not oppress the alien. Last week we heard, remember the commandments. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up. Take this bread, this cup. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Each Sunday we remember the stories of our faith so that we might remember that the Word may become flesh in our bodies. When we conduct Remembrance Day rituals in church, what sort of remembrance are we fostering? Does our remembrance, in the words of Wolff, promote the formation of the communion of love between all people? Perhaps what is most important to remember today is that human life is precious, vulnerable, and tragic. Greed and violence are part of our world. They are the products of self-centeredness and conflict writ large. To live rightly in our world requires wisdom and courage. Our faith can equip us to look past narrow self-interest to the larger picture, to the vision that inspired the prophets of an earth on which the human family flourished, all with enough to eat, each able to sit under their vine or fig tree, swords beaten into plowshares. A world where peace and justice kiss, where no more shall the sound of weeping or the cry of distress be heard, no more an infant that lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. Where they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. This is the vision, the remembrance that feeds us and frees us. Our remembering is both past and future. We remember that we are made for love and that our lives are ordered to a future that is built in hope, a way made by the way that we walk today. All time is in our hands.
moment by moment, we craft the world in which we hope to live by the way that we live. The invitation Jesus issues to us, modeled in the widow and her mite, is to give ourselves to the purposes of God, to stand with that widow as we choose where and how we will give the gift that is our life. Today we remember soldiers, conscientious objectors, ordinary people, animals, and the earth itself, and we pray for an end to war. Today we remember the widows of Zarephath and Jerusalem and Iraq and Syria and Britain and wherever loved ones are killed by violence. And we pray for compassion. Today we remember who we are and whose we are. We are the people of the living God, whose justice and peace are our heart's desire. And we pray for courage. Today we remember the light of the world which darkness does not overcome. And we pray that our lives too might shine. We stand to sing our prayer. 623, in Rejoice and Sing, we sing to the eternal ruler of the ceaseless round.
Thank you. those known to us, our friends and family. We bring before you too those whose names are inscribed on the walls of this church. Of many of them we know no more than what is written here, but we know that for you they were your beloved sons, and that you grieve more for each one than even a parent could. We remember those who have died in more recent conflicts and ask your comfort and consolation for those who mourn them. We pray for those who are still serving and ask you to bring them safe home. We pray for those who have been wounded and who are struggling to rebuild their lives. For those too who have left the armed forces and are finding it hard to come to terms with civilian life. We pray for all those who have suffered opprobrium and hardship because of a principled refusal to fight, and for all civilians caught up in warfare, whose lives have been lost or ruined. And recognizing that your love has no favorites and knows no boundaries, we pray for the dead and wounded of all nations, for those who have fought with us and for those we have fought against, for their losses and their suffering. Gracious God, war has brought so much sorrow to this world. Grant us your mercy, your comfort, and your peace, the peace that only you can give. Lord, we thank you that there have been and still are men and women prepared to put themselves in harm's way to keep us safe. May we never belittle their sacrifice or take it for granted, but help us in gratitude to build a world that honours them and benefits those who are to come, a world of peace and justice. Lord, it is a daunting task when we read Micah's words today, a world where nation will not take up sword against nation, where each man will sit under his own vine or his own fig tree. It seems as far off as ever. But grant us the grace to overcome discouragement, to set this vision before us, and to strive always, step by step, to bring it about, knowing that you are with us and that with your help nothing is impossible. So we pray to you for the world. We pray for all leaders and ask you to grant them wisdom and discernment in these difficult times. We pray especially for Barack Obama, taking on a second term as President of the United States of America, and for Justin Welby, elected Archbishop of Canterbury. We pray for all those whose work is for peace and justice. We remember that warfare is not the only cause of sorrow and suffering in our world. This week we pray especially for those whose lives have been devastated by Hurricane Sandy, in Haiti, in Cuba, in the USA and elsewhere. And in the silence we bring before you now all those who especially need our prayers. Man of sorrows, we thank you always that in you we have no distant or unapproachable God, but one who took on our own flesh, bearing our sins and sharing our pain. We know that you grieve for all our suffering and ask you always to bring your comfort and your healing to us and to all the dark and broken places of this world. Amen.
We prepare to make our offerings by singing the song, "What Does the Lord Require of You?"
Thank you.
priests please pass among us to collect our tithes and offerings? Widow, we offer you all that we are. Take, bless, prosper, and multiply these offerings, these signs of our loyalty and our love, that the gospel of your love may be proclaimed in a violent world, from this place and in our lives. Our final hymn is All My Hope on God is Founded, number 586.
Oh,
God bless our remembering, our fulsome remembering, and our remembering of who we are, the people of the living God, who long and pray and work for peace and justice. And the blessing of God, our Maker, Christ, our Savior, and the Spirit, our strength, be upon us and upon this world. Amen.